devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manasvino nirjita digajendra mameti sarve bhuvipada vaira mridhe sariran natuthad brajanti Yanyastadando katavairo bhiyati Manasvino nirjita digajendra Mameti sarve bhuvipada vaira Mridhe sariyam natuthad brajanti Yanyastadando katavairo bhiyate Manasvino nirjita digajendra Mameti sarve bhuvipada vaira Mridhe sariran natuthad vajanti Yanyastadando katavairo bhiyati
Ladies, Manasvina. Very great heroes, mental speculators. Nirjita Dik Gajendra, who have conquered many other heroes as powerful as elephants. Mama, my land, my country, my family, my community, my religion. Iti, thus, sarve, all, great political, social, and religious leaders, bhuvi, in this world, bhadavaira, who have created enmity among themselves, mridhe, in battle, sadiran, fall dead on the ground. Na, not, to, but, tut, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brajanti, approach, yat, which, nyastadanda, a sannyasi. Gatavaira, who has no enmity throughout the whole world. Abhiyati, attains that perfection. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power. Yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Big political leaders might be able to conquer equally powerful political enemies, but unfortunately they cannot subdue their strong senses, the enemies that always accompany them. Not being able to conquer these nearby enemies, they simply try to conquer other enemies, and ultimately they die in the struggle for existence. They do not take to the path of spiritual realization or become sannyasis. Sometimes those big leaders take up the guise of a sannyasi and call themselves mahatmas. But their only business is conquering their political enemies. Because they spoil their lives with the illusion of this is my land and my family. Srila Jai Pathak Maharaj, our obeisances to you. They cannot progress spiritually and attain liberation from the clutches of Maya. Om Ajnan Timidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Nilidham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam
Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jad Bharat, text number 15. Could everyone hear? This chapter is elaborately describing the material existence to a vast and very complex forest. The setting in which it is spoken is most relevant. Jad Bharat is a penniless person living in the forest, socially rejected as an ignorant fool. And Rahugana is the king of an entire empire. Jad Bharat is forced like a slave to be one of the four palanquin carriers of the king. But he keeps stopping on the road because he doesn't like to step on ants, because he sees the ant to be a living force, a person, just like the king. If he stops, he saves the ant's life and causes the king a little bit of inconvenience. The king is outraged in a tirade of insulted ego. He's screaming at Jad Bharat with so many threats. And Jad Bharat looks at him with pity. He's not looking at a person like a slave looks at his master. He's looking at the king like a doctor looks at a dying patient. And then he speaks. He gives him the perfect diagnosis of his disease. Sometimes people don't like to hear what their disease is. But unless we understand what it is, we won't take the proper treatment. So he bluntly says, O king, you are an ignorant fool. Essentially, he says that. You think that you're a king. You think that I'm your slave. in next birth, I may be the king, you may be the slave. The fact that you think that you're this body and you have this false ego means you're in ignorance. You're bereft of the real wealth of knowledge and truth. The king got off from his palanquin, bowed down to Judd Bharat, and said, "Everything you're saying is true. I accept you as my guru. Please instruct me." In summary, it's like that. So these are the beautiful teachings that Judd Bharat is giving to King Rahuguna. In today's verse, he's describing simple truths in extreme circumstances. We find in scriptural histories this is also often the case. In so many stories, we read about kings, because kings have the extreme fortune of material power, wealth. Political leaders, they may conquer their enemies with massive armies. They may usurp vast geographical areas. And the more they conquer people and land, the more their egos grow with their empires. But what Judd Bharat is saying here is, unfortunately, they do not understand who their real enemies are. You cannot be happy as long as you are being exploited by your enemy, being conquered by your enemy. And the only real enemies that anyone has is their own mind and senses, our nearest neighbors. Conquer political parties, conquer empires, but still, you're just a slave of your mind and senses, exploited. There can be no real happiness. Real freedom is not about the liberation of our race or our nation. Real freedom is the liberation of our own soul. There's a famous story when Alexander the Great came to India. He saw one yogi. This yogi was sitting in meditation in the summer sunshine for hours and hours and hours at a time without moving. Alexander the Great heard about him, was watching him for hours, and finally spoke to him. He said, "I'm really impressed by your yogic powers, your abilities, your tolerance. I want to reward you by giving you anything within my kingdom you want. I can give you wealth, I could give you land, I can give you anything. I'm the king." The yogi looked at him. He says, "If you want to give me something, stop blocking the sunlight and go away. I don't like your shadow over me." That's all he wanted. Bhagavad Gita explains that if one is finding real wealth within, real happiness within, then one can be happy in any situation, whatever the external environment may create around us. But if one does not find that inner wealth or inner joy, then nothing in this world can bring us real happiness. Lord Chaitanya said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kavunoi Saravanadi Sudhuchitu Kodiyayudoi, that wealth of joy, which is love of God, is within the heart of every living being. It's our inherent nature. It's who we are, what we are. It's what we long for. But due to the ego, ahankar, we have forgotten. And in that forgetfulness, we try to find innumerable substitutes for what we're really looking for. But they can never satisfy us. Abrahma bhuvanar loka punar avatanojana mamupetatu kontiya punar janmana vidyate. Because everything within this universe is temporary. And we are looking for something that is permanent. The soul is permanent. Najayate mriyate vakadachin. It's not subject to birth or death. It is everlasting. And the nature of that soul is everlasting satchit ananda, love, prema. We need that. We desperately need that. Ananda mayobhyashat. The soul is crying for that. The heart is crying for that. But the illusory energy, maya, covers the ego to think that you'll get that through some sensual pleasure, some mental achievement, some acquisition. We read in the seventh canto of Hiranyakashipu, he conquered the universe, but he was never happy because he could not conquer his own mind and senses. The Gita explains the mind and senses are like fire. The more you feed, the more it needs. The more you put fuel in a fire, the more the fire becomes a raging blaze demanding more. Little fires are not so difficult to put out. But big fires, very difficult. Here in Southern California, you have many experiences of this. The wildfires. I was recently in Malibu, and some extremely wealthy people, some of the wealthiest people in the world, they were telling me, the fire was next door. And then the fire came and caught on to their house, part of their house. And the fire department was, you know, shooting their hoses, and airplanes were dropping water and all kinds of other powders. But ultimately, these people, even with their hundreds of millions of dollars and everything, the only thing that they could do was run away and watch on television to see their house burn down. Fire is very powerful. And the more it consumes, the hungrier and more ferocious it gets. You have to put out a fire by not feeding it fuel. But the mind and senses, they're instruments of the soul. The heart is yearning for unlimited love, real pleasure. But forgetful of that, we just try to consume more and more fuel for the fire of kama and krodha and matsara. lust and envy and anger and arrogance and greed and illusion. The Acharyas tell us these are the real enemies of life. If you cannot conquer these enemies, you are conquered. And in this world, so many times, the political economic conquerors, and sometimes even religious so-called conquerors, are simply instruments of their own enemies. The false ego. And thinking, the more I get, the more I'll have. But as we acquire more and more and more by dishonest or egoistic means, what's happening is that fire is burning all of our good qualities away. All of our spiritual intuition, all of our realizations, all of our godliness is just being burned away. And we're thinking that we're succeeding. We're progressing. So here the king is being instructed. You don't have to give up your kingdom, but you have to learn to conquer your own internal enemies that are blocking the access and realization to the real wealth and pleasure that you're looking for. Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that people spoil their lives with the illusion, this is my land, this is my family. In the fifth chapter of Gita, there's a beautiful verse that our acharyas and Srila Prabhupada called the peace formula of the Bhagavad Gita. People look for peace. In today's world, such conflict between nations, such conflict between religions, such conflict between races, between sexes. Wherever there's a variety among people, there's potential conflict. And because we're all individuals, there's variety between all of us. But how is it that religion, which is meant to unite and harmonize people, becomes the cause of hatred and division? This is the power of the false ego. It could take something so good and use it as an instrument for our own enemies within. If we do not address the real problem of the disease within ourselves, then even the most beautiful things that have been given to the earth will be used as weapons of destruction in the hands of the enemy of greed and pride within. Religion is meant to be a weapon against ignorance and darkness. But we can take it to be a weapon in the hands of ignorance and darkness. Unless we understand the essence, the purpose, the spirit of what it's for and why. So where is real peace to be found? One of my very dear and old friends, Arthur Brownstein, is here. He's medical doctor who has very deeply taken to the path of natural healing and yoga therapy and one of just a wonderful man who really cares and really tries to help. Really tries to be an instrument of God's love rather than just trying to make it big in the name of helping people. We understand that dealing with the symptoms of a problem can momentarily give us relief. But unless we address the core reason for the problem, we don't make real, tangible progress in cure. So Krishna gives us this wonderful peace formula where he addresses the real problem. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shanti mrichchati. One can be peaceful and happy. Not just momentarily peaceful and happy, but forever peaceful and happy. Not just the peace and happiness that's shallow like a little puddle, but it's deeper than the oceans. If one understands three simple principles, that God, Ishvara, or Krishna, is the proprietor of everything that exists. That means nothing is mine and nothing is ours. We're just caretakers. We're thinking, I am this body, so immediately there's conflict with somebody else's body. I am this mind, conflict. This is my money, this is my house, this is my nation, my land. And we want to be the proprietor, but somebody else wants to be the proprietor. Conflict. But we could all harmonize when we just accept the reality that everything is the property of God. And it's quite logical because proprietorship means control. If you actually are the proprietor of something, you have full control over that thing. Nobody can say, get out. But the power of time tells every one of us to get out. We have to get out of our body. We have to get out of our country. We have to get out of everything. Or some other greedy person may take it away. So really, we're not the controllers of anything. We have some limited control. But ultimately, everything will be taken away. Krishna says in Gita, I am time, Kalarupa. I will take everything away from everyone in due course. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was little Makanchor, Gopal. Little Gopal was stealing butter. And sometimes people ask, you know, of all forms of God, why you worship this little baby that's stealing butter? What kind of example is that? The 10th commandment, one of the commandments is, thou shalt not steal. And here's the God, if he's the writer of the commandment, why is he stealing? Sounds like either he cannot be God because he wouldn't contradict his own order. Or what kind of God is this? It's immoral to steal, and he's stealing. Not only is he stealing butter, stealing the clothes of the gopis when they're bathing in the Yamuna, in the cold. But Krishna doesn't steal. Because everything already belongs to him. All the butter is his. he's Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything is my property. In the form of time, he steals everything away from us, but he doesn't steal because it's all his. From the beginning to the end, he's the creator of everything.
He's the maintainer of everything. Ultimately, he destroys everything within the cosmic manifestation. When little Gopal comes to steal the butter, he's just taking what's always been his. But he's doing it in such a way to completely captivate and charm our hearts to love him. When the gopis would complain to Yashoda Mai, "Oh, Gopal, he's so naughty, how he steals our butter. Early, early in the morning." He and his friends, they let the calves, they untie our calves. And they start drinking from their mothers, and we run out to try to stop them. Otherwise, there will be no milk. And while we're out, Gopal will come into our house, and he will steal everything we have, all of our butter and yogurt and ghee. And one gopi, she caught Krishna. She said, "I'm going to bring you to Mother Yashoda. And I'm going, because I caught you red-handed stealing my butter." Krishna said, "I warn you, you shouldn't do this to me." He was only about 3 years old. She said, no, you must be punished. I'm going to bring you to Yashoda." He said, "I warn you, don't do this." So she pulled Krishna, brought him right before Yashoda Mai, said, "Your son has been stealing my butter." And Yashoda looked and she said, "That's not my son." The gopi had Krishna by the hand. She looked down. It was her son. She was shocked. She brought her son in. Said to Yashoda, "This is your son stealing butter." She's walking away with her son hand by hand, very, very confused. What just happened? And she looks down, and her son turns into Krishna again. And he said, "I warned you. I told you not to do that." He said, "If you do it again, I'll turn into your husband. Then you'll really be embarrassed." So when gopis were complaining to Yashoda Mai, she said, "All right, I will keep Krishna home. I will make sure he does not come." They said, no, don't do that. Please don't do that. The only reason we make our butter is with the hope and the prayer that Krishna will come to steal it from us. Because that butter represents their love. Krishna's coming to steal their hearts. So Krishna's the proprietor of everything. We are the caretakers. We say, "My body, my family, my wife, my husband, my children, my land, my home, my nation." Actually, we are meant to be the caretakers of the Lord. If something is entrusted in our care, we should utilize it according to the will of the proprietor. "Let thy will be done." Whatever Krishna says, "I am the ability in man. I am the strength of the strong. I am the intelligence of the intelligent." Whatever we have, we use it in harmony with the will of the provider, the proprietor. That is how we develop our love for God. Krishna also, in this peace formula, second is, "I am the supreme enjoyer of everything." The Bhagavad explains, if you water the root of a tree, the whole tree is nourished. If you neglect the root and you water the flowers and the twigs and the barks and everything else, it may make them nice and shiny and fresh looking, but inside, they're starving. But if you water the root, it goes to the heart to give inner satisfaction to every part of the tree. "Aham sarvasya prabhavo matya sarvam pravartite." Krishna says, "I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. God is the root of all that exists." By giving pleasure to the Lord, by living in harmony with the will of the Lord,
We are watering the root of our own existence and the existence of everything that there is. What is that beautiful verse? Sam Siddhir Haditoshanam. That whatever our occupational duty may be, whatever our particular status in society, if we please Krishna through our thoughts, our words, and our actions, our life is a perfect success. And to understand that the absolute truth is this supreme benefactor and well-wisher and friend of all living beings. When we have this faith that ultimately God is our friend, then any situation we can transform into a beautiful opportunity to grow, to flourish. In this world, due to the karmic attachments and due to the enemies that we have cultivated, we create so many problems to ourselves and to others. Just like in a river, there may be a very turbulent waves because of the wind. But if you go deep into the river, it's very calm. So similarly, whatever the crisis, whatever the turmoil, whatever the nice situation may be, if we actually go deep to understand, God is always there. Krishna is always there as our best well-wishing friend, waiting to deliver us, waiting to bestow love upon us, waiting to bestow our heart's innermost desires, fulfillment. That is something that never changes. We may not have much control over the circumstances of this world. We try our best. That is our duty, individually and collectively. But ultimately, within our hearts, our ever well-wishing friend is always there to give us shelter if we just turn to him. Draupadi was in the most difficult situation when she was being stripped naked by Dushasana and the Kurus. But when she realized it was a hopeless, helpless situation, she raised her arms and cried out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." And because she cried out the name of God with such feeling, Krishna gave her complete shelter. And that was the high point of her whole life. That was the crescendo of her existence. Is that moment when she just turned within by chanting God's names with feeling and accessed the love of God. Whether it changes the external situation or not, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But the external situations are going to change anyway, one way or another. But when we find that stable foundation, that permanence of the shelter of the Lord, of Krishna within us, we achieve a peace, a satisfaction that is beyond the dualities of material existence. The love of God. And this is what Jodh Bharat, this penniless person who's just treated like an animal wandering around in the forest, he wants to give this wealth to the king Rahugana. And Rahugana is accepting it. I have to leave because I have a meeting, so I will end here. I thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.